Guys, it's almost May, and that means graduations, job interviews, and dressing for work. That's why we love the folks at Liberty Shirt Co. Not only do they make the coziest, warmest, and softest flannels we love to wear, but they have over 400 fabrics for you to design your one-of-a-kind shirt for every occasion, like white shirts for job interviews to the coolest linen for summer clubbing down the shore. And what's really awesome about these guys is that they make every shirt in New Jersey. Head over to libertyshirtco.com and save every time you use the promo code 3PEAT.
Welcome back to another episode of the 3PEAT podcast, season 3, episode 12. Can't believe we're already 12 episodes down. I'm your host, Stephen Bonanza, and I'm joined with
Josh Fromowitz
and Alex Castle.
Well, guys, we got so much stuff to talk about, especially a lot of basketball at the collegiate level and NBA. NBA, big day today, trade deadline. It's been this, this date has been team's been counting down this day for a while, so it's finally here. A lot of moves have been made. Nikola Vucevic, all-star center, traded to Chicago. Aaron Gordon, whose name has been rumored around for several weeks now, he got traded to Denver, so we'll dive more into that. And then March Madness. March Madness has surely been madness so far. The name does not lie. A lot of upsets and a lot of big matchups in the Sweet 16 and even the women's. The women's March Madness got a big matchup, so we'll get more into that. And then if we have time, talk some football. NFL, obviously still in the middle of free agency. A lot of teams have been making moves, especially one of our hostess teams. And want to see, do they like the moves? Is it a good move? So we'll get all into that. But first, I want to talk about the NBA trade deadline. Exactly, about an hour until it's done with. So 3:05 Eastern time, PM, is when the trade deadline, that's it. Teams can't make moves anymore or trade players. And so far, it has not let down. Like I just said, Vucevic got traded to my Chicago Bulls for Wendell Carter, Otto Porter, and 2 first-round picks. Aaron Gordon got traded to Denver for, Gary Harris? A future first-round pick, and was there another player?
R.J. Hampton.
R.J. Hampton, and that was a first-round. He was a first-round pick this past draft. So, and then Evan Fournier got traded to the Celtics. So, guys, what do you think of these moves? Josh, I'll go with you first. Especially that the Celtics making some moves. So,
I was talking to Alex a little bit about this earlier. The Fournier move, it wasn't much, but it kind of confused me. The Celtics, they lack one big thing, and it's height, a true rim protector. They've got so many guards, Kemba, Peyton Pritchard, Jeff Teague, Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown. You add Fournier now. I personally wasn't a fan of that move. I think they should have gone for a big man. Drummond has been thrown around in the mix. Hassan Whiteside has even become available to teams. So I personally wasn't a huge fan. I thought they were going to try to get Aaron Gordon. But the Nuggets did, so they solidified their bench and their starting lineups, adding in Aaron Gordon. But one move that you did not mention that I was a huge fan of was the Norman Powell one to Portland. Nothing important. Norman Powell was traded to Portland for Gary Trent and Rodney Hood. And both teams benefit from this, I believe. But I like for Portland side more because you've got a deadly duo in Lillard and McCollum. They really didn't have a good three. They have a good front court in Melo / Covington and Cantor / Nurkic when he comes back. But their three was what they were lacking. Then you added Norman Powell, who has been having a lights out year shooting and defending. As a Nets fan, I'm happy to see him go and not be in our conference anymore. So I think it was a great move for them.
I agree. I was surprised though that Portland was a team that ended up getting Norman Powell. Not that they're not a contender, but I thought a much bigger contender, or even I thought Castle, maybe your Knicks might try to swoop in, but I could see maybe Toronto didn't want to do a trade with the Knicks. Because they were in the same division, right? Just making sure. So, yeah. So, I could see sometimes those in-division trades are hard to orchestrate. But then Castle, I did see your Knicks. We're part of a three-team trade, and that was with Philly, Oklahoma City, and obviously you guys. And you guys sent Austin Rivers and Iggy Brazikas, and you guys got Terrence Ferguson. So, well, and then the Sixers ended up getting George Hill, and then the Thunder got Austin Rivers and Brazikas and stuff like that. So, you know, Austin Rivers, he was pretty solid off the bench. And I was looking up the Terrence Ferguson. He's super young, but he hasn't really shown that much, like, with stats-wise. He hasn't really produced a lot. So, you know, Castle, do you like the move? Do you think the Knicks aren't done yet? Maybe they could package him for other guys? Like, what do you think, you know, the Knicks could do? Or you think that's it?
First of all, I was definitely taken back when Austin Rivers was traded. I liked Rivers a lot. He had expressed through multiple interviews with the press that he came to New York because he wanted to prove something playing in the Garden. And the fact that he was traded, it's upsetting, but at the end of the day, that's the nature of the business. In terms of receiving Ferguson, I do like that he's on the younger side. I think he will provide more depth in that sense, as opposed to Rivers, who, yeah, he's still pretty good in age, but he's old. He's been around in the league for a little bit now. But I like your idea of using him as a trade package. I think that's what the Knicks should do. I think that we still do need to make some moves. There's been a lot of speculation about trading for Lonzo Ball, which I would be very happy with. I feel like he could be a really good guard that we could pair with RJ. And I was really hoping that we could also get Drummond too. I just don't think that's as realistic, especially still having Mitch Rob, even though that would be nasty. So that's what I think in terms of that. In terms of some of the other trades, I have to agree with Josh. I think the Blazers getting Norman Powell was huge. And he was kind of a missing piece for them. Now you look at that lineup and now you start to see that they can really bring something to the table. And I don't know how much influence this had, but maybe part of the reason that, you know, Powell was good with Portland was because of Lillard. I feel like Lillard is one of the most respected guys in the league. I feel like he's been sticking around with Portland for a long time and he's been proving his dedication to the city. And I feel like that can easily attract other players. So I really like that. And then just again, touching off what Josh said about the Boston trade for Fournier, I don't really get it too much. I mean, okay, you got another really good guard that can shoot, but they did have Brown. They do have Tatum. So I don't know. You know, Danny Ainge, he's always up to something. So maybe he sees something with this one that we don't.
True. And he's always – I think I saw a tweet. It said Danny Ainge never – like trades for or signs the guy that he's expected to. He always like pulls off some crazy trade. Not that Evan Fournier was a crazy trade, but it wasn't expected necessarily for the Celtics to get him. So and then Josh, did you have a point?
Yeah. I mean, well, I can bring it up after you finish the Fournier because it's a different thing.
Well, I mean, that was pretty much it. I was going to maybe talk about some, you know, the Bulls and the big move they made. Well,
that's where I was about to get to. I wanted to talk about it.
I have something to say after that as well, hey, too.
Three great minds think alike, right?
Absolutely.
Not two, three.
I love that move for your Bulls, Stevie. And I know you're like head over heels with this move because the Bulls really didn't have to give up much for it. You replace your center with an all-star center. Okay, you give up a forward, but he was on a terrible contract. And then two firsts, but those firsts will essentially be okay picks because with this move, that'll move the Bulls into possibly deep playoff territory. So adding Vucevic alongside Zach LaVine, that's scary. Vucevic is one of the most underrated centers in the league. He is an elite scorer that people really don't talk about because he was trapped in Orlando for so long. Zach LaVine isn't getting the credit he deserves because he was trapped alone in Chicago. So now you add those two guys together. It's going to be fun to watch the Bulls again.
Yes. I can't wait. And hopefully now they get more nationally televised games because living in Connecticut, I can only watch the Bulls when they're on TNT, ABC, or ESPN. So hopefully now this move, and then pairing him with Artie Levine, hopefully they get more national recognition. But to your point, like, yes, because I even Big Cat, obviously, he's a big Chicago guy. So he was tweeting, you know, he's saying, yeah, you know, some of you Bulls fans might not like the first round picks given up. But listen, here's the thing. You can't just keep drafting guys and hoping they work out. In the NBA, I was even talking to my brother about this. There's more busts in the NBA, like, say, than the NFL. The NFL, you have 7 rounds, and the guy in the 5th round can turn into a star. So the NBA, you only have 2 rounds, and usually if you're not picking in, like, the top 5, it's even, like, at pick number 6, you don't know if that guy's going to turn into something. You know, even, like, the Bulls, like, Kobe White. I really like Kobe White. I still think he's got a lot of potential, but he still hasn't hit that yet. You know, Castle, we're just starting to see RJ kind of more consistently now play some really good basketball. So it takes a lot for these guys in the NBA because they're coming in at so young, such a young age. Not every guy's built like LeBron James or even Zion Williamson. Yes, he's putting up all these stats, but he's not necessarily leading to a lot of wins with his team. You know, you replaced Wendell Carter, who you drafted, but one, he was small, and two, he just, I don't know, he wasn't really working out. And then he was going to be, his contract was going to be expiring off his rookie deal soon. So, yeah, like you said, Fromm, it's like we replace him with an all-star center. Otto Porter Jr. at the time was injured, and then he came off the bench, and now we shed that awful contract. And then the 2 first-round picks, you know, like, it's 2021, so we won't have this year's first-round pick, but look at a team like Brooklyn. When's the last time they even drafted in the first round? I don't even know because...
Well, we drafted in the first round recently because we've made trades. But
okay.
Our own pick, that is where you go back several years and then you got to fast forward years well in advance too.
Yes. But pretty much Brooklyn, they got good by signing and trading for guys. And that's what the Bulls need to do. You know, LaVine now... They traded for him a few years ago. He's finally taking that step. He's the star of this team. He's just one of the now bright young stars in this league. I mean, dude's averaging like 20 points per game. So he's no joke now. And then you now give him an all-star player. Not, oh, he's a promising young player. No, Vucevic is an all-star player. And I think, and the Magic said, a report said right before it was traded, it's going to take a substantial package to move Vucevic. And I think it was a fair trade. I think those guys are replaceable. Vucevic is going to be – Wendell and Otto Porter are replaceable. Vucevic is going to be tough to replace in Orlando, and that's why I love the move.
I'm honestly shocked, though, that it, I really thought that the Magic could have gotten more out of Vucevic. He was the sole guy carrying that team for so long. He was the reason why they made the playoffs last year when everyone counted them out. They had nothing except Vucevic. This year, he made the All-Star team, which was well-deserved and long overdue. And he's still scratching the surface with potential. He's 26, maybe.
He's actually a little older. I thought he was super young. He's 30.
Okay. Well, but still.
In the NBA, I mean, pretty much – you can have guys playing. I mean, look at LeBron James. He's dominating. And granted, it's LeBron. Vucevic is not LeBron. But LeBron is playing at a high level when healthy at age, what, 36? So it's still pretty young for the NBA.
Okay, even still 30, he still has some years left of his prime. So Bulls got a real win there.
Yeah. No, it's finally good to see. And that's what I love, too, and I don't want to keep, you know, just hovering over the Bulls and hyping up the Bulls, but I like what I'm seeing from the front office. They're committed to winning. It's not just like they came in and said they're going to win. They just make some – I mean, this was a big move. This was an unexpected move. At first, I didn't really think the Magic were going to move Vucevic, and then when it said, oh, it's going to take a substantial package, and then when it came out that that's all we really got him for, like, hell yeah. Nice. I'm glad they did it. So – and then the Magic, I don't know, they kind of seem like they might be in a rebuild because now they moved Aaron Gordon, which obviously was rumored to be that he would be moved. He got traded to Denver, like we said earlier, for Gary Harris, RJ Hampton, and a future first round pick, I think in like 2025. So, Castle, do you think he's going to fit in with Denver? Because you already got Jokic, Jamal Murray, Michael Porter Jr. Do you think, how does he fit? Do you think it was the right team? I mean, like we said, he was probably going to get traded regardless, but did you see Denver as a fit or as a team that would get him?
So I heard a lot about Denver getting him, so it doesn't shock me. In terms of his role on the team, I really don't know where I see him. Possibly, and you guys can totally correct me on this if I'm wrong, but he could do kind of what Blake Griffin is doing for the Nets right now, I feel like. Come off the bench, be a big body that can score, you know, because the Nuggets have such young talent, not only starting but coming off the bench, that I feel like Aaron Gordon is a guy that can come out and can really work with the second team and put up big numbers. And on the topic of the Nuggets, something that me and Josh talked about, which could still happen with the time being, but they also still got Paul Millsap. So the question is, where does he fit into the future of the team, and where do you see him moving? But overall, I think it was a good move for Denver in a conference with a lot of tough teams and a lot of talent.
I just want to go off of that. I don't think Paul Millsap is in their future plans. We talked about this earlier. I think he's going to be bought out because I really don't see teams wanting him. We see a bunch of the older guys. They're tough to move, and especially Paul Millsap. His contract isn't too pretty. So I'm sure the Nuggets will buy him out, and some team like the Lakers might sign.
I was just going to say the Lakers. I can definitely see the Lakers picking him up for like a veteran's minimum or like a very, very small deal. Because listen, he is an experienced guy. I believe he's been in All-Star games multiple times. So he's definitely someone that I could see LeBron working well with and giving them more of a boost.
Yeah, guys, yeah, in the league for so long, hasn't gotten that ring yet, but
it's funny you guys say Paul Millsap. I completely forgot about him because he just, you know, nothing has been non-existent in Denver, but it, you know, it's tough with a lot of those out west teams because they play so late. And
Jokic just is the entire talking point of the Nuggets right now.
Pretty much, you know. So obviously, there's some talk about them last year when they made the bubble, made that far Western Conference Finals push with Jamal Murray. Do we have breaking news?
Yeah, it's not much, but Rondo to the Clippers.
Okay, so there we have it, Rajon Rondo to the LA Clippers. So the Clippers,
that's a very good move for them. I like that a lot, actually.
I do too. I'm kind of disappointed that Atlanta let him go.
So very interesting move, and it was rumored actually, and I'm, you know, we can talk about this now too. Kyle Lowry, his name has been popping up, and at first it went from Philly, and Toronto wanted either Tyrese Maxey, Matisse Thybulle or Thybulle or whatever, and like, or multiple like picks, and Philly said no. And then it was rumored the Clippers could get Kyle Lowry, but I guess maybe those talks didn't go anywhere. And look at now, Rajon Rondo is now a Clipper. So
I've been seeing a lot for the Heat to get Lowry. I've been seeing Dragic, Duncan Robinson, and picks.
Well, that'd be interesting. That'd be interesting.
You got to keep in mind, Lowry's got a big contract, and so does Dragic.
And Lowry is 35, so he's definitely getting up there in age. But, you know, he's a veteran point guard, NBA champion in his prime. Not that he's not in his prime, but, you know, back in his younger prime, this dude put up some serious numbers. He was, you know, he was a baller. So, but Rajon Rondo to the Clippers, that's, again, very interesting move, a pretty good move. So now I wonder if a guy like Pat Bev or Lou Will gets traded or bought out, or because you think, or does Rondo move into that starting point guard spot? I mean, I would think so, right? Maybe.
I think Rondo is someone who comes off the bench because he's that guy who, he's got the locker room presence. He's got that championship mentality. He knows what it takes to win. He was on that Lakers team last year. Really didn't do much in the regular season. But when it came time for the finals and the playoff push, he was something else. We saw shades of the Boston Celtics' Rajon Rondo last year. And I'm expecting, honestly, the same from him this year with the Clippers making a deep run.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, last year he had guys, you know, he was able to get the ball to AD, LeBron. You know, in Atlanta, Trey Young's a guy who's really handling the ball and scoring. And then, you know, you have some of their big men in John Collins, but or Clint Capella. But now, you know, PG and Kawhi, he's got some guys now who can really score and get to the rim, and guys who are very reliable and are superstars in this league. So, yeah, that's a good move. And let's see if he can, you know, like we said, he helped one, you know, LA team, the Lakers, get a championship. Let's see if he's able to help the Clippers finally achieve their goal in winning a championship. So, you know, we'll definitely keep up the updates for if there's any more breaking news. And then last thing with NBA trade deadline, I want to know, you know, do we think Lonzo is going to get moved? I think that's what everyone's been – everyone – and I don't know where this came out of, because I've always been a big Lonzo guy, but a lot of people kind of didn't like him because of his father or didn't think he was as good as, you know, for being the number two overall pick. But it seems like today everyone wants Lonzo to get traded to their team. So what do we think? Lonzo staying as a Pelican, or is he gone?
I think he'll get traded. I know there's not much time remaining, but it makes sense for the Pelicans to move on from him now, because they chose not to extend his contract one more year, meaning he's a free agent after this year. And he's due for a big deal come this offseason. People might say he's not worth it, but that's a debate for another time. But I've been a Lonzo Ball fan. I like him. I like his game. I like his IQ. When he's on the court, he makes plays happen. And I've been seeing the Knicks being a team that wants Lonzo Ball. And it pains me to say this, but it would be a very good fit if he comes to the Knicks. And I'm sure Castle would agree with me.
Absolutely, Josh. Like I said, pair a guy with RJ Barrett, I think it would be great. I think, you know, Lonzo, look, he definitely hasn't lived up to being the number two pick in the draft. I think we can all agree there. I think we can also agree that prior to his injury, LaMelo looks like he will be the best ball out of the three. I actually don't know if I see Lonzo getting traded, though, at this point. I do know that they're not extending his contract and all of that, but keep in mind that they did get him from the Lakers with guys like Brandon Ingram and Josh Hart, who have been contributing. So maybe, you know, maybe Van Gundy's thinking, give him, either let him test free agency or give him a smaller contract to motivate the kid, because I do think Lonzo Ball is talented. I do. And I do think that it is a matter of time for him to prove himself. And I think he does need some sort of boost, you know, because I'm sure a part of him still thinks, you know, I'm the number two pick. No matter where I end up, people are still going to see that and still hold that value because I'm Lonzo Ball. But if he's not going to continue to play to that level, then teams are just going to put him to the side. So I think that's another way to look at the whole Ball situation, is you don't trade him, you let him test free agency, or you sign him to a one-year deal and say, listen, Lonzo, this is what we're giving you. It's now or never.
I mean, I like that idea. The only fear is you take the risk of letting him leave and you don't get anything in return. At least if you were to trade him today, there's a guarantee you get a return on him.
Oh, absolutely. I do agree with that.
We've got a talented team already. The Pelicans also already bought out J.J. Redick, so they're already down one guy on their team. So to fill the spot of possibly losing Lonzo Ball, I think at least get a backup point guard or something, or some picks.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, because they were saying really Lonzo probably will get moved, but it's really coming right to the – right to the deadline, and so far no rumors of a deal getting close or what team could be in the final agreement for him. So, you know, we'll have to keep checking our phones and updates and stuff, because pretty much, you know, when we end this episode will be the end of the deadline. So if we hear anything with him, we'll, you know, have to break it out on the 3-peat podcast. So yeah, what a crazy day so far. I mean, that, hey, 2K's going to have a lot of changes to make by tomorrow.
Probably 2K's about to be a busy man.
Yeah, he better update all those rosters.
Some could say this is madness.
Hey, March Madness, right?
Oh, March Madness.
Ah, that was beautiful. Nice transition. And yeah, March Madness, I mean, it's, we've been waiting over a year, and boy, has it lived up to, not the hype, because we've all, you know, witnessed March Madness before, but year off was, just felt too long. I mean, this is why March Madness is one of the best things in the entirety of sports. So, I mean, it was just, it's been so hectic, and it's been just madness. It has been legitimately March Madness. It's been so crazy. I can't even speak straight right now. So before I don't even start speaking English, R. Harford, you know, put up a decent fight for the first couple minutes.
They want me some money, so I'll take it.
Yeah, all right. Hey, hear that, Harford? You want to Josh some money. So, but listen, you know, they were going against Baylor. No one predicted them to really – I mean, Baylor is a force. But they looked pretty good, but it was just fun.
Oh, let's backtrack.
I think we got to break this news.
You know how we said Rondo is traded?
Yep.
He's traded for Lou Williams.
Okay. All right, so there you have it. So is it Rondo for Lou Williams straight
Sixth
up or no?
Sixth man of the year. Wow. I don't know. That's kind of surprising that the Clippers were willing to give him away. You think Pat Bev would have been the better move?
I don't know. I mean,
going for all the defensive guys. It seems.
That's what I'm saying. Pat Bev offers a very, very strong defensive presence. But
been out of their rotation for a bunch of games because they also have Luke Kennard. So
true. Yeah, he's a lefty sniper off the bench. So I think they want defense. You know, if we're not going to score that much off the bench, because one guy, you know, is not going to off the bench scoring a lot. It's not going to help. You need multiple guys who can, you know, score off the bench. So they'd rather at this point be like, listen, rather lock you down than try to put up, you know, however many points. So, well, it's day eight. Hey, listen, it keeps getting crazier and crazier. Like we said, we'll keep updating you guys through the show. So, but let's go back to March Madness now.
Get back to Hartford. Sorry, I had to break that.
No. Hey, listen, no pauses. I'm interested. The fans are interested. We got a big day for the NBA. So, you know, we got to break the news. But yeah, back to Hartford. It was cool watching them just in March Madness, first time ever. But then, unfortunately, Hartford wasn't able to pull off the upset. But that doesn't mean there weren't any upsets. There's almost too many upsets. Except, of course, I didn't pick any of these freaking upsets.
A lot of brackets got messed up.
Yeah, and so mine included.
So you're telling me you didn't have Oral Roberts in the Sweet 16, Stevie?
I guess I did, and I made a mistake by that one.
You're probably regretting that one right now.
The boys from Oklahoma going to the Sweet 16. I just – you got to love it.
Or, you know, just having my winner, Illinois, who was a one seed, just lose to Loyola Chicago in that manner that they lost.
Steve, I mean, you needed more faith in Sister Jean. That's all I'm going to say about that. Sister Jean.
From now on, if Loyola Chicago makes it, and as long as Sister Jean is alive, I'm not picking against them, because she's bringing the faith to that team, and she's got, you know, they got a lot going on their side. So they seem to just keep – it's almost not even Cinderella team anymore. They're just like – they're here. Loyola Chicago, as long as they got Sister Jean, they're good. So,
you think that a Cinderella? Because it seems like it's a consistent thing now.
No, I mean, I didn't have them as a Cinderella this year. I mean, a couple years ago when they made the Final Four, that was a Cinderella. I never heard of Loyola Chicago, but now I'm almost not surprised.
It's like, yeah, now I don't think it's considered a Cinderella because it's like you're expecting this now.
Yeah. I mean, I wish they didn't play Illinois, who I had winning the whole entire thing. So.
Damn.
So now I'm just rooting for all the upsets.
Yeah. The upset is what makes it fun.
To make sure everyone else's brackets are equally as messed up as mine.
Well, that's it. You know, if I'm going down, I want everyone else to go down with me. So, but it is, I saw the stat traded. I just read a notification saying Lou Will was traded for Pat, for Rondo. But I saw a stat where it was like, this was like the second most double digit seeds advancing to like the second round or Sweet 16 since a couple years ago or something like that. So definitely a lot of upsets. You know, Abilene Christian beating Texas. They like never won a tournament game, and they upset number 3 Texas. You know, obviously Oral Roberts upsetting number 2 Ohio State and then 7 seeded Florida. So it's just crazy to see all these upsets. But then you see teams like Gonzaga, Baylor, Michigan, number 1 seed still hanging around, showing that they're pretty dominant. Do you think, I mean, it seems, at least to me, it's pretty clear, unless if one of those teams has a bad game, like Baylor Gonzaga looks like they're going to be one of the two teams that wins it. They look just super dominant. No team is going to be able to compete with them. I mean, Gonzaga's been putting up like almost 100 points each game. Baylor may not be scoring that much, but they're still putting up points. But defensively, they just have been a force. So do you guys agree with that? Or?
Yeah. I think it's hard to not think it's going to be a Baylor-Gonzaga championship. It'll be fun to watch, though, if that's what it happens to be. Yeah, Jalen Suggs, who's a potential top 3 NBA draft prospect, going up against Baylor's, like, 1,000 guards that they play. You got Corey Kispert has been balling for Gonzaga. Drew Timmy has been balling for Gonzaga. You've got the like 5 foot, 300 pound forward for Baylor, who is a force defensively. He had that nasty block on our boy Hunter Marks that made Bleacher Report, and it was very upsetting to see. They also have the mullet boy, who is a bit of a shooter. So yeah, that would be a fun matchup to see.
Oh, for sure. And I'll tell you what, that Davion Mitchell, who everyone thinks is like Donovan Mitchell's brother, or Donovan Mitchell somehow transformed into this guy from Utah. You know, like I think it was Dame saying like at Donovan, he like tagged Donovan Mitchell on Twitter, like, is that you? Or because this dude is just, he's locking up everyone he's been playing. And he literally is D Mitchell. Like he wears 45. It's like ironic how like and he's disgusting. It seems like it is Donovan Mitchell playing out there. But I mean that kid, he has just really been showing out too. So that'll definitely be fun to watch. Castle, you know, your Maryland beat UConn, who I had going pretty far, so that kinda upset me. But then they lost the other night. So I know your bracket's probably not doing too good after that.
No, it is not. And I think I was proved wrong about something. Alabama is not just a football school. They're balling in this tournament. I mean, they put up 96 against Maryland. I'm very impressed by Alabama. Not a team that I expected to go far. I do happen to agree with you guys that it's going to be Baylor Gonzaga in the championship. Baylor defensively is just very, very good. And I think it was tough for us not having Mitchell because he's one of our better two-way guards. He creates a lot of scoring opportunities and very unfortunate to have him getting hurt 16 seconds within the game. But, yeah, I mean, I guess I should have known that Maryland was going to get squashed. But I think it's the fun of March Madness, just going with your gut. But, yeah, I was kind of disappointed about UConn. I mean, they're still the state team. I was also disappointed about my Rutgers, too. I really had them going pretty – I had them going to the Sweet 16. But I guess, like we've been saying, beauty of March Madness is anything can happen. And if you have the power of Sister Jean with you, then anything is possible.
Steve, your Connecticut team, the UConn Huskies, are out. Castle, your Jersey Rutgers team is out. But New York, we've got Syracuse still in. Buddy Boeheim is balling, and he's playing.
Respect to the Orange, I do.
I picked them to go the Sweet 16. I'm not making that up. That's one of the picks that has been keeping my bracket somewhat alive. Yeah. I don't know why.
I don't buy it.
Dude, they're sniping threes. They actually are playing well. I don't know. I don't know how much farther they can go, but
Buddy Boeheim.
Oh my gosh!
I remember his father. How cool is that? Like the son, the best player on his team, coached by his dad, made it to the Sweet 16. Like aside from their Carmelo Anthony run, like where they obviously won the championship, like Syracuse was a national title team when Jim Boeheim played for Syracuse. So I think that's also pretty cool. So it's like runs in the family.
It's like full circle, you know, if they can make it back. But yeah, Buddy, he's been lighting it up. This dude is just dropping threes like no one else's, you know, business. So I hope they keep going at this point. So Sweet 16 starts, I believe, what? Is it tomorrow, Friday, or Saturday?
Saturday, I believe.
So it's what, Saturday, Sunday, and then?
Saturday, Sunday.
All right, so that'd be the Sweet 16. So these matchups, as the rounds keep progressing, the games are going to get better and better and better and more competitive. Who knows how many more upsets we'll see. We already saw a lot of them. So, you know, it's definitely it's going to be fun to watch until there's only two teams left. And then, you know, the Women's March Madness has been happening. And there's one big matchup that's coming up that a lot of people are excited for. And to myself, I'm excited too. The number one seed UConn Huskies against the number five seed Iowa Hawkeyes. And, you know, obviously being from Connecticut, UConn women's is just huge. I mean, the amount of success they've had that Gino Auriemma has had with that program. I mean, like 11 national championship rings on his finger. You know, he doesn't even have enough fingers to hold all his rings. So anytime UConn's on, I'm always, you know, intrigued and want to watch. And they always have, you know, the top recruits. And obviously this year they have Paige Beckers, who is just phenomenal. She'll probably be the first overall pick in the WNBA draft whenever she's eligible. But this Caitlin Clark girl from Iowa, I had no idea who she was because, like I said, I don't really pay much attention to women's college basketball. But, I mean, I looked at her stats. She averaged during the regular season 27.4 points per game, 6 rebounds, and almost 7 assists per game. I mean, those are some insane stats. And she has lit up March Madness so far. Even like guys like Kevin Durant saying like, "Oh, she's ready for the WNBA." So it's going to be an awesome matchup to see Paige Beckers against Caitlin Clark go at it, and see UConn versus Iowa. And I think this will be a really cool, really fun matchup to watch. Both these girls obviously are going to score a lot of points, and I think they're going to go at it. And it's going to create some madness within the women's side too. So that'd be really cool to see. Another thing that was really controversial was the weight rooms between the men's and the women's. And I do want to talk a little bit about it because it was kind of shocking to see. I forgot who posted it, but either one of the...
I believe, I don't know her name exactly, but I believe she played for Oregon.
Okay. So they posted a picture of the women's weight room, which obviously the weight rooms are in the hotel that they were staying at. And the woman's pretty much was, what, like a thing of, like, dumbbells?
Yeah, it was like a little stand with dumbbells. And then you look to the left, and they have all this empty space. And then the men's room was basically a bunch of different, like, benches and a bunch of different things just spread out.
And so all sorts of exercise equipment in this huge room. And then even the gear, they got, the men's got like 8 different sweatshirts. They even got a book. They got pamphlets. They got towels, masks. And the woman's got like one shirt, maybe one sweatshirt, a mask. They didn't even like get a book. So there was, you know, clearly like, what the hell? How come the men's got all this and the women's didn't get all that? And, you know, I agree. Like, here's my thing. So, you know, obviously the men's March Madness tournament does generate so much revenue. We know this. And compared to women's, they definitely do generate more. That being said, it shouldn't take back of what you're supplying the women's with and what you're supplying the men's with. You're the NCAA. You know, you have the men's tournament, you have the women's tournament. Both should be equally distributed, you know, the same supplies, the same equipment. You know, it shouldn't, I don't know what they were looking for that to happen. I don't know why they didn't like do that. You know, why didn't you just supply the same thing? And instead they waited until it became, until the whole like public saw it and it became, you know, a bit of an outroar. And then finally they ended up updating the women's side with more, you know, weights. And I don't think they gave them any more gear, but like they added more to the weight room. But like, I don't know, I think that was kind of pathetic on the NCAA side because they really went all out for the men's and then kind of left the women's hanging. I didn't think that was right. I don't know if you guys.
No, I do agree, Steve. There, listen, I think there are two sides to this whole situation. I think if you really were to break it down, you know, yes, on one hand, like you said, the men's tournament does provide more revenue, blah, blah, blah. You know, on the other hand, the women's provides less, you know, go on about that. At the end of the day, the way that I see it, both the men's and the women's teams, regardless of what school they're coming from, they accomplish something. They achieve something. They're taking the risk in a national pandemic to go play in Indianapolis and to go quarantine with their teams and do all of this and all that. So if all of these student athletes are taking the risk, then they absolutely should be getting the same perks. And I think the fact that that's not even something that the NCAA thought about just shows you, you know, what their organization is like and where their heads are at. Because let's be honest, if there was any sort of tournament like this where the NBA and the WNBA were going to a neutral location and competing, you know for a fact that this would not happen. They would make sure that the women, either the women would be getting the same or they would try to cover it up and not make it so publicized.
Well, it's kind of like the bubble. And, you know, when both, like, leagues kind of had their own, like, bubble, you didn't see anything like this because the NBA obviously was in, was it Disney World, right, in Orlando?
Yeah.
It's not Disneyland, right? Disney World. All right. And then the women's, I think, I forgot if they were in Florida, too. I don't know if they weren't in Disney World because they were away from the NBA, but they were in
IMG Academy.
They were IMG Academy, but, you know, both places, they really, you know, customized it to be like, it wasn't like, I mean, the NBA players half the time, they were, you know, complaining about what their situation was like. So clearly it wasn't that good. And then the WNBA, it was like the same thing. It wasn't like that NBA players had, you know, all these like chefs and stuff like that. And then WNBA didn't, like, both like leagues had pretty much the same kind of thing. Like you were saying, Castle.
It was the fact that they were suffering together.
Pretty much, you know, both really couldn't see their families and stuff like that. So for that to happen, I just thought it was wrong of the NCAA. Josh, do you agree?
Yeah, I like both. I agree with both of your points that I see both sides. I get the men's bring in more revenue, ticket sales, everything. But still, if on a normal year, the top seeds for the women's would be hosting, I believe, the first weekend of games, which would be the round of 64 and the round of 32 at their own home venue. So like UConn, for example, is the number one seed. They have a full facility that would have been open for the teams to practice there. So it confused me a bit. So yeah.
So, I mean, listen, at least the NCAA did, like we said, upgrade it and change it. But, you know, definitely not a good look for them. So, definitely crazy. And then before we wrap things up, quickly talk about the NFL. Pretty much, I know, right in the middle of free agency. So obviously, still some time left. You got about, like, a month until the draft. But there was one team that has been making a lot of moves, and I think we have a fan in the show of the team, and the New York Giants, Castle. Kenny Galladay?
Oh, come on.
What could I say, Steve? I am not disappointed with Dave Gettleman. Overall, he did a great job. You know, now I'm not too disappointed about Tomlinson. Still sorry for you because you got to face him 2 to 3 times a season. But we restructured contracts. Nate Solder's taking a very, very low pay grade. So getting Kenny Galladay was great. Might have overpaid him a tad, but I think the fact that Daniel Jones was the sole reason why he came, that their conversation was what sold him, was great. Getting Adoree Jackson, I was so hyped about that. I was following all the news, looking at all the Giants fan pages, you know, seeing that he was going to go to, you know, meet with Philly after us. But we also did a great job selling him. Having former teammate Logan Ryan get dinner with him, I think, was crucial. 3 years, $39 million, also could be a tad too much, but the details that I've seen, the way that the contract is looking to spread out, that'll benefit us. We also restructured the contracts of Blake Martinez and Bradberry going into 2023 free agency, so that should help out. And finally, Kyle Rudolph. Wasn't too happy with the move at first, but I realized he still is a Pro Bowler, got a lot of experience with the Vikings. He's very happy to be here. The one downside is he does have a lingering foot injury that will require surgery, which was the one issue that was being dealt with when it came to making his contract official. But he's going to get surgery, and he says he's going to be ready to go week one. So hopefully that's a guy that can really help out Evan Ingram. He's a great red zone target. And now, you know, minus whatever we do in the draft, I see a much improved and hopefully a fully healthy offense. And I see a top five secondary in the league.
Listen, it's going to be a pretty new look Giants come, you know, on the first weekends of September. Obviously, your defense was, you know, your defense played pretty well most part last year. Like you said, now you added Adoree Jackson, you had McKinney. Hopefully, you know, this is all theoretically if everyone's healthy. You know, so if you have all those guys, like you said, that secondary is really good. And who knows, maybe a guy like Jabril, he can take the next step. McKinney can take a step in his development. Adoree Jackson now can maybe hopefully, I mean, he was doing really good in Tennessee, but now he can flourish even more with all these other guys playing alongside a guy like Bradberry. So you know, it's obviously your guys' biggest problem last year, not being able to put up enough points. You know, but now pretty much it's on Daniel Jones. Does he have it? You know, you guys supplied him now. Saquon's coming back. You know, you have Devontae Booker as a backup. You have Shepard, Ingram, now newly, you know, Slayton, obviously. Now newly acquired Galladay and Rudolph. And I mean, Galladay, he's this legitimate number one receiver. So
if he can stay healthy, yes, he's 100% our number one.
Oh, yes. So, you know, injuries aside, you know, I'm praying for you guys, you know, hoping for you guys that everything's good. But now it's pretty much all on Daniel Jones. Does he have, you know, he's got the weapons, he got the pieces, you know, the line has been improving, been retooling. So hopefully they play well. So pretty much, you know, can he take that next step and really become your guys, you know, franchise guys? So be interesting to see. And moving across, well, not really moving across because they played in the same stadium, but you know, the Jets, I'm trying to think, the Corey Davis deal, did we talk about that last week or was that newer?
No, I think it happened like last Friday or Saturday, so we just missed it on the show.
All right, so
Corey Davis. Free agency started this week.
Well, no, it started St. Patrick's Day, so the 17th. That was when the new league year began.
Oh, yeah.
But, well, I mean, listen, you guys got some new weapons in Keelan Cole, Corey Davis.
Yeah, no, I really like the signings that we've made so far. There's still some more that need to be made, especially a cornerback. But Corey Davis is a true number one. I really, really like that move, especially regardless of who our quarterback will be, whether it's Darnold or Zach Wilson or by luck's miracle, Deshaun Watson. He is a constant 1,000-yard receiver, very physical, strong guy, very, very fast, has great separation. So I'm excited. And then you pair him alongside with Denzel Mims, drafted him last year, who missed most of last year, but at the end showed showed promise. And then in the slot, Jameson Crowder, who is by far our most consistent receiver. So I really like that. And then on defense, there were some low-key moves that were made, but underneath the Robert Sala defense that I think will flourish. Obviously, the return of Quinnen Williams, I think he's going to take a jump start to next year. Then you've got Carl Lawson from Cincinnati on the other edge. And then in the middle, you got Sheldon Rankins from the Saints, who's a big D tackle. And if he could stay healthy, he's a force. And then our linebackers, Jerad Davis from the Lions, not too special, but fills a hole. And CJ Mosley's back finally, so hopefully he could stay healthy because he was a beast with Baltimore. So, we also signed LaMarcus Joyner. That's a good move. I like him. He's fun.
And you guys, at least for running back, so Frank Gore's not out there 48 years old.
Yeah, Tevin Coleman, very good third down back, at least, receiver. He was very excited to come to New York and follow the LaFleur system and coach Sala. So I am very optimistic with this team. Obviously, there's a lot more free agency left. There's some more questions that need to be answered. And then the draft, we need to make some moves. So we're far from finished, but we're headed in the right direction. And we'll be better than New England.
Well, I'll have to hold your horses on that one.
Put it in the books. Take it to Vegas. We'll be better than
New England. All right. Well, you're getting a little out of hand now. Right? Kess, am I right? Is he getting a little out of hand?
One can dream. One can dream. But I will admit that I was even impressed with the Rankins move. And Sala's gonna prove something this season with this Jets team. And I think even with the signings that the Patriots have made, I'm still not a big Cam Newton guy. So I think if the Jets keep this momentum, they've got a good shot to compete with Miami and Buffalo, and they don't really have to worry about New England.
The Jets have had a good defense for a while, and then you just bring in Sala. That defense, I expect to flourish. And it's really the big question is on offense, but we've got some ballers already, and it all comes down to the quarterback. If we could finally hit on that, whether it be keeping Darnold and letting him get comfortable with the receivers because he'll finally have true targets, or starting scratch with Zach Wilson, a very athletic quarterback, then so be it. So I trust Joe Douglas so far. He's made all the right moves, hasn't overpaid. We're doing very well. We still got some money to spend. So let's spend it and get the right guys.
Yeah, well, hitting on a quarterback's not easy. I've been waiting quite some time for that. So I'm just going to keep waiting for the Bears' turn. But
And before we end the show, I just want to report Lonzo Ball is going to be staying in New Orleans.
Yes, sir. I had that funny feeling.
Wow. Yeah, so there you have it. So
disappointed he won't be a Nick, but I had a funny feeling that if there wasn't a trade already with him, then they're just going to keep him at this point.
So it seems like pretty much all the moves that were made were probably pretty much the most final moves that were made, and that'll be pretty much it, unless if one kind of squeaks in right before the end of the deadline. So very entertaining day with sports between, the NBA, A lot of moves were made. You know, NFL, obviously a move can be made at any point now. So we've seen moves, you know, happen at night, in the morning, midday. So, you know, we'll keep, we're definitely going to keep checking them out, updating you guys. And before we head off, just want to give a few quick shout outs. One, social media guy, Matt Engler. He just continuously pumping out all this great information, all that great content you see on our Instagram at the handle at 3PeteSPodcast. So Matt, we appreciate it. Thanks again. And then Wild Chat Sports, they've done a phenomenal job of creating content and sharing and networking all the podcasts. So shout out Wild Chat Sports. We're so glad to be partners. And then that's it from the 3Pete Podcast. Wish you guys a good week, and you know, keep up listening, and keep checking out all that sports news. So thank you.